Good morning. I invite you to turn to Psalm 119, and we're going to look at two verses which are similar in nature here in Psalm 119. First is verse 62, and then the second is 164. So keep your finger in those two places as we read. Psalm 119, verse 62. The word says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments." And then verse 164 says, "Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments." You can see the similarity between these two verses. It's very simple and plain that these verses indicate to us that the Christian life is to be a life full of praise and thanksgiving. If we were to add verse 62 to verse 164, we would have eight times a day the psalmist says, "I will praise my God and give thanks to him." There's a regularity to that, isn't it? Are we limited to eight times a day? Of course not. These verses actually have formed an important part of Christian history. A number of the monastic rules of the early Middle Ages and later periods of the church had set times of prayer to praise God. The rule of Saint Benedict, for example, actually had eight times set based on these verses. It says, "We are going to schedule eight times a day to praise our God." And they have these canonical hours that the monasteries would set. And it didn't matter where you were. If you were one of the monks out in the field, even if you were far removed from where everybody else was praising God, you were to stop your work and to praise your God in prayer and in song. Now, we don't have to be advocates for monasticism to see that there is a maturity about such patterns of life. But we shouldn't need set imposed times either, nor should we be limited to them. You certainly don't see that the psalmist is required to do this. You don't get the sense that the psalmist has been forced to praise his God eight times a day. No, he's rejoicing in the righteous judgments of God, and so it just spontaneously comes forth. He just wants to praise his God. And so it should be in our lives as well. This is what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be driven to praise because our hearts are overflowing with a sense of God's goodness to us. Now, some of you might look at these verses in Psalm 119 and think, that's far removed from my experience right now, day to day. I mean, maybe if I pray just a few times a day, it's only because I'm driven out of anxiety to ask God for help because I'm freaking out. Maybe that's where you're at. We can confess these things if that's where we're at. But this is calling us to something more than that. This is calling us to a life of constant and frequent praise to our God. It would be good if we could say with the psalmist in Psalm 45, "My heart is overflowing with a good theme." Overflowing. It's like a cup that has been filled to the top of all the goodness of God and his benefits, and it's just going to overflow. It's got to come out. That's the picture that should be of our hearts, is full of these things and therefore overflowing. Now, sometimes we find it hard to praise God, hard to give thanks. And we think, on a day like this, there's no way I could do that. This is too hard of a day to praise and give thanks to God. We might think that sometimes. But let me read to you a story of a hard day. This was a hard day in Acts 16 in which something happened to two godly men, Paul and Silas. Acts 16, verse 22. Here's what happened on this bad day for Paul and Silas. It says, "The multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." It's a bad day. It's a hard day, a trial-filled day. What did they do? At midnight, they rose to praise their God. Look at what it says. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You don't see Paul and Silas licking their wounds and grumbling, saying, Silas, we should have never gone to Philippi. This was a disaster. What a waste of our day. No, they're praising their God at midnight, just as the psalm says. These were some unique prisoners. There was nobody else like this in the prison. All the prisoners were listening, like, what is going on here? At midnight, they rose to praise their God because of his righteous judgments. Now, is that us, brothers and sisters, as we come to a hard day? You haven't had your clothes ripped off. You haven't been beaten with rods, probably. Haven't been fastened in the stocks. Can we praise our God 7 to 8 times a day? Well, this is a time of confession. And if we feel weak in this regard, we can confess this to the Lord. We can say, Lord, I want to sense your goodness. I want to praise you from my heart. And let's say you think, I just can't do that. I can't do it in sincerity. I would challenge you to do it anyway. It may be that in the very act of giving thanks to God, even though your heart is a little stuck, that it'll be warm to the praises of God as you do so, as you recount all his benefits to you. Don't just sit there brooding about your accumulated problems. That doesn't help. Praise your God. Think of those things to praise. And maybe even say in prayer, Lord, I'm not sure how to praise you, but I know you are good always. And especially in light of the resurrection that we remember today, we always have reason to praise our God. Perhaps you remember the poignant story in Corrie ten Boom's life in which she's there in the concentration camp and she does not want to give thanks to God. Circumstances don't yield thanksgiving in her mind. And yet her sister presses upon her, says, Corrie, we need to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. He says, I cannot do that right now. I certainly cannot thank God for the fleas that are afflicting us. And Betsy, being so seemingly hyper-spiritual, says, we need to give thanks to God for the fleas. She says, I can't do that. And yet, within a period of weeks, Corrie realized that it was indeed a gift from God that the fleas were there, because it allowed them to worship unhindered. The ladies could gather around the Bible, they could pray, and the guards would not come into that place for fear of the fleas. She realized that even in the midst of that affliction, there was reason to give thanks to God. And so as we confess our sins this morning, it's right for us to confess our hearts are weak. We feel unable to praise, and yet we need to remember the benefits of God. Bring your anxieties, Paul says, in prayer with thanksgiving. And so let us take this time now to confess these things to our God and ask that he would fill our hearts to overflowing with his praises. Let's pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we confess our lack of praise and thanksgiving, and we see that it is due to our lack of love and appreciation for you and your good word and your promises and your faithfulness, and we get so consumed by our problems. Forgive us for our complaining. And instead, help us to see all the many things we should give thanks for. Teach us to be those who think upon you and on your righteous word and your promises. And that we could begin to say with the psalmist, my heart is overflowing with a good theme. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins to the Lord.